Let the church say amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. I've said it before, and I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again this week. Our Friends and Family Day is coming up, and you need to remember to go out and invite your neighbor to come along with you. And your neighbor, let me clarify, is not just the person that lives next door to you. Your neighbor can be the entire world. Or your neighbors are the entire world. And remember also I said that if you can't invite your neighbor to come to church with you, guess who needs the examination? So with that said, let us remember our Friends and Family Day. The purpose is to invite as many as you can just in case I can't get anybody to come who I invite. So we'll make up because you invited several people. So invite as many as you can, and we shall have a good time in the Lord. Let us go to God in prayer this morning. O righteous Heavenly Father, your blessings are tremendous. Your blessings are awesome. Your blessings are wonderful, and you continue to shower us with your blessings. You showered upon us this morning, Father, when you touched the eyelids of our sleeping eyes and called us back to life. You blessed us again, O Lord, when we had breakfast, if we chose to have breakfast. You blessed us, O Lord, with the use of our limbs, our mind, and our body. If we have to use them, you gave us the things that we need to accomplish what we need to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, O Lord, for Jesus, your dear, darling Son, the jewel of heaven, for sending him down to this earth that he may hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross. We thank you for that, Lord, and we are continually in your gratitude, Lord. Thank you, Father, for everything. Father, we pray for the sick and the shut-in in our congregation here. But we pray for them all over the world, especially those who are members of the household of faith. We pray for our leaders and their families. We pray for our brethren and their family, the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. And we pray for those who shall come from this point on, including myself, O Lord. Father, we thank you for all you do for us. And we pray for those who are in our security services, those who are in our armed forces, those who are standing on guard, guarding us from hurt, harm, or danger. Thank you, Lord. We pray for those men and women who stand around the world on our behalf. Thank you, Lord. Give them the hope that they need, O Heavenly Father. Give them the gracefulness that they need and the faithfulness to call upon your name anytime they need to, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father in heaven, we pray for all this morning. We pray for the families that are raising their children this morning. We pray that you give them guidance, and you have done so in your word on how to raise children. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just pray and ask you to continue to be there for us when we need to call upon thy name. We thank you for the last time we called upon you. We thank you for the next time that we call upon you. And we especially thank you for this time that we call upon you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything, Lord. Thank you for all things, and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Let the church say amen. I have to get that drink of water in. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from John chapter 6 and verse number 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. How do we know? Because we are told in the Word of God in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 1. We know that Bethlehem is located about 5 miles from Jerusalem. We know Jacob's wife Rachel is buried there. We know David was anointed to be king there. But most notable of all these things that we know about Bethlehem is, again, it is the birthplace, the earthly birthplace of Jesus, the bread of life. Bethlehem today is a popular destination to visitors who want to visit what is commonly called the Holy Land. But what I want to emphasize today is not so much the place, but instead the person of the place. Bethlehem is not the bread of life, but is the birthplace of the bread of life. Let us look at some thoughts about the bread of life. Jesus is the saving bread. Now, I don't know about you, but I know for myself, I love bread. When I eat, I want to eat bread. I don't care. I prefer one type of bread, but I don't care if it's whole wheat, if it's white, if it's brown. I just love bread. I don't care if it's a roll, a dinner roll, or just a slice of bread. But I want you to know that's not the kind of bread I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about the bread of life. I eat bread. I can eat it all by itself. But this bread is bread to fill me up. This bread I'm talking about is not to fill me up. Jesus offered life-saving or life-giving bread. In the scripture that we just read in your hearing, the Bible says once again, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But also in verse number 40, if you look down at verse number 40, he said, and this is the will of him that sent me, to everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This tells me that Jesus can and has eternal life to give to all who believe on him. Verse 1, number 51 makes it even plainer. Number 51 says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. No other bread can offer what the bread from heaven can offer us. That kind of life is not found in a slice or a loaf or a piece of bread. It is only found in Jesus Christ. In verse number 58, we can go even further. In verse 58, it says, this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. No other bread can offer nor give that kind of life. Your father ate manna given by God in order that they not starve from the lack of food. Described in some places as the corn of heaven, the bread of the mighty. But Jesus is heavenly bread, giving eternal life to those who faithfully partake of him. Now, when I think about it, the bread of life being Jesus and where he came from, the bread of life came from heaven. Isn't it a wonderful thought to know that Jesus is our bread for our lives? So not only that, but Jesus is satisfying bread. Everyone in their heart has a hunger for satisfaction of some sort or another. Maybe your goal, what you need satisfying is a goal that may be financial. Some may be personal achievement. Some you long for, or maybe it's a family situation. And many times, possessions, things, popularity, fame, or promotion will never fulfill your satisfaction. But Jesus can. If you notice in Isaiah, the first chapter of Isaiah 55 and verse number 1 and 2. Isaiah says, "Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come buy and eat. Come buy my wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye for that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." And then on down to verse number 3, "Incline your ear and come unto me, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." God was offering these people back then the best of what they needed. They needed physical food, and God was offering physical food for them. He was offering it for free if they would but come. Today he's offering us everlasting bread, everlasting life through bread from heaven. If we too would simply come, all we need to do is accept and believe in Jesus. For it is in him that we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his glory, grace, Ephesians 1 and 7. Jesus is our everlasting bread. Just when God spoke to those people of yesteryear, he is offering us what we need today, bread from heaven by the way of Bethlehem. Jesus is also sustaining bread for us. Now, I know you know, because if you've lived any length of time, you understand that life is difficult. And sometimes the walk becomes hard. But when we have Jesus as a friend, we have someone to walk through the rough spots. Someone who can bring us out of the valley of despair, and who can put our feet on solid ground. He is able to smooth out life's uneven way. He is our refuge, according to Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and he shall say, "Destroy them." He will be our shepherd and lead us through the valley of death. He is the author and of our faith. All we need to do is to look to him. Hebrews 12 and 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus is not only the author and finisher of our faith, he is the leader of our faith. He is the fulfiller of the promises of the word of God. He is the prize keeper. The prize is what we should be focused on. Watch the word of God in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Our God is alive, and he will certainly finish what he started in all of us. Sometimes we get ahead of ourselves. And I know that if you have had troubles in your life, you oftentimes want to take trouble matters into your own hand. That's the wrong thing. You know a better finisher of trouble, a better fixer of trouble than you yourself, and that is Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Look at the text once again in verse 35. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." But look at verse number 36 as well. "But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not." We have not seen Jesus, but many of us don't believe still. But Jesus said, "If you believe on me, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I want you to understand something this morning. If Jesus was dead, then none of this would matter. But thank God Jesus is alive and well and able to keep what he said unto us through his holy and divine word. Isn't that right, church? Without a Bible, we wouldn't know in which direction to take. Without a Bible, we wouldn't know any instructions. We wouldn't have any instruction for getting to heaven. Without a Bible, we would not know what's in store for our lives. But thank God, the Word of God is here. And we can have faith and trust in Jesus Christ, for he is the Word of God. So just thank God that Jesus is who he is and not somebody else. And as I stated before, if we live another 100 years, and for many of us that would make a long time for us to live, and if we live and continue to follow the Bible, and the Bible is wrong, what difference will it make in 100 more years from now? Thank God that we have the Word of God. We cannot make it without the Lord, for he is the bread of life. He has saved us, he can satisfy us, and he is our sustainer in life, and he is our sanctifying bread. Now, sanctify means for us to be set apart, to be in a different position. In your own time, I want you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. And just, I'm going to give you a flavor of it, just so you can understand what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were, guess what? You were washed, but you are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of Lord Jesus, of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. Thank God we have been washed, we have been sanctified, we have been set apart. Now I know some of you, when you hear the word sanctify, you expect somebody to jump over a row of benches here. It ain't happening. That's not the sanctified we're talking about. You expect somebody to be walking around with a tambourine. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being washed and set apart in the blood, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to watch something in the Bible here. In those verses of 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, I said I wanted you to read it at home, but I'm just going to flavor it just a little bit there. If you notice the people that it named, let me go back to it for 1 second here. First Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 says, once again, know ye not. And I want you to look at that part in verse number 9 especially. See who's not going to be your neighbors, what I'm talking about. See who no longer will be around you, if you understand what I mean. In verse number 11, and some of you were, and that such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Isn't the Spirit of God wonderful, church? You need to know the Spirit of God. Now, I don't want to get into talking so much about the Holy Spirit, for that's another lesson, another time. But just be aware that you are washed, you are sanctified. And that tells you the kind of people that are not, what's going to happen to them. People who have been washed and sanctified and justified in the name of Jesus. For those today, the Lord is offering another opportunity to come to him. Now, I tell you something this morning. I'm so glad that the Lord has given us the privilege of coming to Him. And you know, it's hard to understand sometimes why more people won't come to Him. Some people just refuse to believe. And I don't know. Maybe it's because they are afraid to believe. Maybe it's because they just can't see things being the way the Bible says they are. But it's not for you to see, it's for you to hear. It's for you to believe in, and it's for you to put your faith into. So what am I saying this morning? I'm saying trust in the Lord, for He is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. In verse number 48, it repeats the same thought as verse number 35. I am that bread of life. I'll start with verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life, church. No, you can't make a sandwich with Jesus, but that's not the kind of bread we're talking about. Once again, we're talking about spiritual bread, faith and bread that you can put your faith and trust into, bread that can give you everlasting life, bread that's good for all of us, and everlasting and heavenly bread, everlasting life, and the bread from heaven is not fattening. You know, if you eat too much bread, they say you get fat. I can almost testify to that. I'm a living witness to bread, but I love bread. So I ought to be totally in love with the Lord because He is the bread of life. You ought to be totally in love with Jesus because He is the bread of life. Because I know most people like bread. I remember something some years back that Brother Lewis used to always tell me. He used to always say that he loved bread so much that even he ate bread with his bread. And I thought about that and I said, now, if Jesus is the bread of life and I'm trying to get to heaven and he came from heaven and I'm trying to get to heaven, it just makes a lot of sense that I trust and put my faith in him. Doesn't that sound all right to you, church? It sounds all right to me and it sounds the right way to go and the right thing to do. It sounds like I ought to put all the trust that I can in Jesus Christ. And I know my time is drawing near, but let me get down here with you. Let me talk to you for a minute here. Now, if Jesus is the bread of life, I don't need to know what other kind of bread I can have. Isn't that right? He's already told me that He's the bread of life. So I don't need to look for no other kind of bread of life, not to fill my spiritual life. Isn't that right, church? If Jesus is the bread of life and He is from heaven and He's giving me an opportunity at everlasting life, which I hope, which I know is in heaven, hopefully that's where we're all going. We're trying to get there, aren't we, church? If I took a survey right now and asked you how many are not trying to get there, I don't think I'd get any hands because otherwise you wouldn't be here this morning. You wouldn't be sitting in church if you wasn't trying to get to heaven. Isn't that right? So when I think about it even further, I looked at that thing and I said, okay, if Jesus is the bread of life, He's from heaven. He came down to earth from heaven. He's back in heaven right now, sitting on the right hand of our Father, of His Father. And our Father, just makes sense that that's the place that everlasting life will provide be provided for me for. Doesn't that make sense when you put it all together? You know, when you're in school, you have to work things out logically. When you're in business sometime, in the marketing department will come to you and ask you, what kind of idea do you have to put this in the marketplace? And you come up with all these ideas. Well, see, I'm so glad for the Bible because I don't have to come up with no ideas on my own. It's already there. It's already in the Bible. No matter what it is that I'm seeking, it's already there. Because the Bible told me a long time ago that there's nothing new under the sun. So when I think on that a little further and I look at that matter, if Jesus is the bread of life, he's from heaven, he came down to earth to be born in Bethlehem, he walked this earth for a little over 30 years, and he went to the cross on my behalf. What more do I have to look for than that? Did you go to the cross for me? Did I go to the cross for you? I don't think so. You know, I'd like to tell you that I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have went to the cross for you. I would have had problems or reservations on going there for myself. But certainly I know I wouldn't have went for any of you. Not that I don't love you, but I just couldn't give up my life for you like Jesus gave up his life for us. And when you consider the matter at hand, all he asks of us is just a couple of hours a week. And where is everybody? Where is everybody this morning? Some of them are running the marathon of this or that. Some of them are still hung over from last night. Some of them are still partying from last night. Some of them, but none of them that are partying are here this morning. So where are they? That's why it's become so important that you invite somebody to Friends and Family Day. Get them in church. You bring them, and we'll try our best to teach them. And you can help teach them by the way that your attitude in Family and Friends Day. This is another part. Now, I switch gears. When you treat people right, people like to come back. When you treat people wrong, people don't ever want to come back. So what am I saying? I'm simply saying if we get enough folk in here on Family and Friends Day, Friends and Family Day, don't treat them wrong, but treat them right. Let them say, I like that place over there. That place over there, the people are friendly. That place over there, they treated us good. That place over there, they were all right with us. So as I said, I was switching gears, so I'm switching gears again. When you live a righteous life, other folk are watching you. And when other folk are watching you, somebody eventually may come up and tap you on the shoulder and say to you, what church you go to? I know you go to church. I can tell by the way you walk. Not your steps. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. They talk about how they can tell about how your life is going. You know, you are a testimony for your life. They say that we're preaching our death sermon, our eulogy as we live. And you want to have a good eulogy, don't you, Down? You want to have a good sermon for when you are laid out here, and don't think you're going to get by without being laid out here now. But so you need to let everybody know, yes, I'm a member of the Lord's church. I'm a member of, I believe in the bread of life, which is Jesus, who is from heaven. And from heaven he came down here, hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross to give us an opportunity to be a part of the tree of life. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Put your faith and trust in him. Now, I know that a lot of us like to put our faith and trust in things, material things. That's not going to get it. That's not going to get it. Because, see, one day, folk, you're going to die and folks are going to argue over what little money you may or a lot of money, whatever you may have that's left. They're going to start arguing about it. And the argument starts the day you die. Now, whether you got it written down in instructions on how you want to do it or not, and I heard Brother Burnside reading Hezekiah this morning, about Hezekiah this morning, and he was told to get his life in order. Now, I'm suggesting that you get your life in order so that there won't be no infighting when the day of that day comes, and that day is coming. You can believe that if you want to, but that day is coming. And when that day comes, you want to be ready for it. You know, the Lord is going to call us all home. And it's just a matter of whether your life is in order or not. And it doesn't make any difference. Because that's an appointment that you must keep. You will keep. Once appointed to man to die, after death comes, guess what? The judgment. So just get your life in order. Thank God for being the bread of life. Thank Him for being from heaven to come down to earth to be born in Bethlehem to serve as our everlasting life, our everlasting bread. Thank God for all that He does for us. Thank God that He woke us up this morning. You know, if you don't have nothing to say to the Lord all day today, just say thank you. You don't have to even explain the thank you. Just say thank you, Lord. And that thank you will cover many things. So if you are a member of the, if you want to become a member of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then coming up. And Brother Jackson will be happy to baptize you this morning. The water is ready. Brother Jackson is ready. Are you ready? But if you already become a member of the Lord's body by obeying that form of doctrine, but somewhere you walked astray, you come back, come up front, ask the church to pray with you and for you. Ask the Lord to pray to the Lord to ask Him for forgiveness, then ask the church to pray for you and with you. Don't expect me to pray you out of trouble, though. You've got to pray for yourself. See, I got enough troubles of my own. I can pray for you, but I can pray with and for you, but I can't pray with and for you all by myself. You need to take a part in that. It's a interactive thing. You got to be a part of it. So if that's your desire, as we together and sing the song of invitation, I just about finished right on time.